One of my favorite walks is one where you park your car in Yosemite Valley and you walk all the way, part of it climbing, to the top of Half Dome. And you come all the way back down to the parking lot, and you do that in one day. How many of you have done that? Wow. Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. That's incredible. That's, what is that, 25 miles or something like that, round trip? It's a long way, isn't it? Now, if you've never done that one. If you're smart, you won't do that all in one shot. You'll take your backpack and you'll go up to Little Yosemite Valley where the bears are, and you'll hang out there that night. And then you'll make the ascent and come all the way down. I was looking on the internet this week and I was asking myself, what's the longest distance that anybody has ever walked in one day? What is the world's record? What is the Guinness Book of Records? So I went online and I couldn't find it. I was surprised. So here's something that one of you could take on. As far as I know, nobody has ever established a record for a walk in one day. They did it in a run. You know how far they ran, Grant? 155 miles. A Frenchman did that. 24-hour period of time. But I think the longest walk is somewhere between 75 and 100 miles. And that's walking at a pretty good pace, right? That's somewhere between, what, 6 and 7 miles an hour walk, which is almost a run, isn't it? Someone told me this last week that the thing that keeps them exercising and the thing that keeps them walking is the fact that they finally found a companion. They finally found someone who would encourage them and keep them going and be an exercise partner. And that was what was making all the difference in the world. They weren't just stopping and starting, but they were being able to be consistent. Our talk today, the theme for the day, is about having someone to walk with. Scripture tells us the story of a man who found just such a partner. He could walk with this individual on a regular, consistent basis and keep up his exercise program. It wasn't a parent. It wasn't a child. It wasn't a spouse. It wasn't even a dog. This companion, we find there in Genesis, the 5th chapter. And so I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to that passage that Ryan has already shared with us. We're just going to read a portion of it. Let's begin reading there in verse 21. Matthew 5, verse 21. The short story of a man who found his walking partner. It says there, Enoch lived, what was his name?
Enoch.
Enoch lived 65 years, and he had Methuselah. And after he had Methuselah, it says Enoch walked with God, how many years? 300 years. And he had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Yet he had a really retarded lifespan. Back in those days, he lived 900 years or more. He only lived 365 years. But he didn't die, verse 24 says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So there's something about walking with God and being taken by God. And that's the correlation that I want to talk about today. Enoch was several hundred years old, it says, before he had his first child. And I'm thinking that probably this was several hundred years, of course, after Adam and Eve had eaten from the forbidden fruit. So that would make Adam and Eve his great, 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 great grandmother and grandfather. Seventh generation from Adam. And I'm sure that when he went and visited them, because they were still alive when he was born, he made a pilgrimage from wherever he was born on the earth back to Eden. You remember how we talked about how the Garden of Eden just stayed right there on the earth for over 1,000 years? And they could still see the angel with the revolving sword there, preventing their entrance into the garden. And so I'm sure he found his way back, and he visited his great-great-great-grandfather and grandmother, and they told him the whole sad story. And they explained how sorry they were to have disobeyed God and caused all the problems that were evident in the world. But they shared with their great-great-great-great-great-grandson that incredible story, that promise that God had given to them, that one day a man would come from heaven, a son would be given, and he would do battle with the enemy leader, and he would rescue the world from his clutches. Because of sin, God and his angels were now separated by some sort of barrier that turned them invisible to humans. They still walked or flew on the earth as before the fall, but now they couldn't be seen. However, this didn't keep Enoch from seeing them. He just put on his faith glasses. With faith, he could see God quite well. Now, Scripture says that when he was 65 years old, he had a son. He named that son Methuselah, and the birth of this little boy changed Enoch forever. When he held that little newborn child for the very first time and he looked into his eyes, his heart was filled with such a love and such a joy as he had never experienced before. And he began to understand how it was that God must feel about his children, and how much he must have loved them to be willing to send his son to this earth to purchase at his death their freedom. Day by day, the Bible says, he kept walking and talking with God. Year after year, for 300 years, he kept at it. Even though the world all around him was turning to wickedness and to evil, until one day, friends, the Bible says that a portal opened up and he disappeared. He just walked right through it, just like one of those science fiction movies that you've probably seen where the special effects people, they have some sort of a gateway or some sort of a wormhole. And you go through the gate and you appear on another planet or in a distant galaxy or a different dimension. That's what happened to Enoch. One minute he was walking home from work, and the next minute he was strolling down the streets of gold in the capital city of the New Jerusalem. Would you like to have that happen to you? Wouldn't that be incredible to just leave this old world of sin and sickness and death and pain and war and just go to heaven? Amen. I would. It could happen, you know, when Jesus returns. Those who have been walking with him every day will see him come. They'll see him surround this planet with his angels. He's going to just scoop us up to meet him in the sky, and we're going to travel back to that capital city where we're going to reign with him as kings and priests for 1,000 years, the Bible says. But that won't happen unless we're walking with Jesus every day right here on this earth. Today we have the privilege of enjoying the communion service. Enoch demonstrated what communion with Jesus is like, that it's possible, and what the end results will be. What does it mean to commune? When I looked that up in the dictionary, I loved this definition. It says it means to talk intimately with, to be in a state of heightened receptivity. I like to think that that's what's going to happen. That's what is happening here today as we have come to commune with Jesus in a state of intimacy and heightened receptivity. Our talking to God, we call prayer. He talks to us through the Bible, through nature, through songs, sermons, symbols. And one of the most profound symbols that he talks to us and shares with us are the symbols that you see up here on this communion table today. Beautiful symbols of the bread and the wine, the grape juice, representing his body and his blood. Another beautiful symbol is that of the foot washing as a mini baptism. When we come to the communion service, it helps us to commune with God at a deeper level. We go below the surface reality to really see God by faith. This is what Enoch experienced in his walk with God. It isn't something that should be limited to once a quarter, is it? Or even once a week when we come to church. But every day of the week, whether we're at work, whether we're at home. And it isn't just walking. I mean, we can be jogging, right? We can be playing golf. We can be bungee jumping. You know, there are some activities that you need to be walking and talking with God more actively than others. Like parachuting. Remind me to tell you what happened when my middle son went parachuting and his parachute didn't open. Fascinating story. Maybe this week, this month, this year, you haven't felt very close to God. If truth be told, you haven't been walking with God like Enoch did. But you want to. You don't like the separation that sin has caused. You yearn to be joined to Jesus once again. Today gives us that very special opportunity of being able to come into that relationship that he wants to have with us. So let's confess our sins during this foot washing service. And as our feet are being washed by a brother or a sister, a husband or wife, imagine that you are being baptized anew into a fresh, personal relationship with Jesus. Then we're going to come together after we finish with that. We're going to come back here into the sanctuary. And we're going to gather around Jesus just as the disciples did at that upper room. And we're going to commune with him. So I invite you to just to bow your heads right now with me as we prepare for this service in confession. Oh, Heavenly Father, we sense that our lives have not been in that state of constant walking with you as was Enoch. But we want to. The spirit is willing and the flesh is so weak. Thank you for giving us another chance to have that type of intimacy with you. I pray that your spirit will be upon us now as we separate, that you will forgive us for every sin that might have separated us. We look by faith to the sacrifice that Jesus made for us on Calvary. And we just invite you to come in now and to live and commune with us. And I thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may wonder why I have put a chair right here in the midst of us. You'll recall I was talking about when we got back together again, we were going to commune with Jesus. Just like the disciples did there in the upper room. And they gathered around him, and he distributed the bread and the grape juice and so on. We want to invite Jesus to be our special guest of honor today in his communion. I came across just a wonderful passage. I wanted to share it with you. It's from the book, Our High Calling. I know that in many hearts the inquiry arises, where will I find Jesus? There are many who want his presence, want his love and his light, but they don't know where to look for him for whom their hearts yearn. How few are constantly beholding the unseen guest, realizing that he is at their right hand. How many ignore his presence, and yet Jesus does not hide himself away. No one needs search for him in vain. Behold, he says, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me. Jesus invites us to accept his presence. We are to open the door of the heart and let him in. There's no need of making a failure in the Christian life. Jesus is waiting to do a great work for us, and all of heaven is interested in our salvation. Can you say praise God?
Praise God.
Amen. If that is so, then, and I believe that it is, I invite you this morning to put on your faith glasses and to see the unseen guest as he sits in our midst this morning to accept our praise and our worship and our thanks.
Me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 11, 23 and 24. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 and 24. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembrance of me. How can you remember someone if you haven't gotten to know them? Think about that as we participate in this service and as we pray. I'm going to pray now. I invite you to bow your heads. Just sit quietly and bow your heads as we pray. Heavenly Father, this ancient service must have been extremely powerful for the disciples. They knew you. They spent a lot of time with you. They had something to remember. As we take part in this same ancient service, I pray that each one of us will remember Jesus' life and his death, but also that we'll reflect on our daily walk with Jesus here and now. Jesus stands at the door of our hearts every day to meet with us through the scriptures, through prayer, through intentionally letting your love shape our daily thoughts and actions. If there are some here today, Lord, who have not started that journey or have been distracted or strayed from that close, intimate relationship with you, I pray that as they take part in this bread, that they will also take Jesus, the bread of life, into their lives. I pray that they will connect with Jesus, not just once, but moment by moment throughout every day. Thank you for hearing our prayer, Lord. We come to you in the name of Jesus, the Messiah, your Son.
We'll continue right there in that same text, and we'll start at verse 25. It says, "After that same manner also he took the cup, and when he had suppered, said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes." My concern many times when I receive communion is that I don't meditate upon the tremendous price that was paid for my redemption. I just feel sometimes that it not only am I not totally thankful, but I just overlooked the significance of it. We do this once a quarter here. I don't think we can afford to overlook the significance of this blood that's been shed for our redemption. Let us not be guilty of that. There's another verse that goes along with this, and it's found in Ephesians 1:7, the same thing. In whom, Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. That really says it all, for me anyway. I don't know where I would be without his grace, and I'm sure we can all meditate upon that for a while. Again, I would ask you to pray with me and stay right there. And I would just say to the Lord, Heavenly Father, we are so blessed. You have done so much for us, Lord God. And speaking for myself, Lord, I feel so inadequate when I give you thanksgiving, when I praise you for what you've done for me. And therefore, Lord, I'm going to make a more of a sincere effort to meditate upon you, to understand what you've done for me, to understand what the future is for us because of what you've done for us. You've redeemed us from a marketplace of slavery. You've redeemed us from that. We stand before you without sin. This is because of this precious blood, Lord Jesus, that you've shed for us. How can we possibly overlook that? So, Father, we thank you, we praise you with a sincere, open heart to receive your blessing. And as Pastor has shared, Father, you're sitting right here in our presence because your word says that where two or more are gathered, you're in our presence. We thank you for that, Father, and we pray in your precious name. Amen.